time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and thanks very much for tuning in to A Walk Through the Garden. Steve Stone and Mr. Neil Spencer here.
Yes, I give great advice. Great advice is listen to Steve. Do what he says.
Oh, could you give that advice to my wife?
I meant about the gardening and stuff.
Oh, I just thought you meant in general.
Yeah, and I'd probably take your advice on cool old cars, too. My understanding is that a couple of the Larry Stone cars did pretty well at the... was that the James Dean Festival?
The James Dean show was, I don't know why, it was always one of my dad's favorite shows, and we started going in 1984, and we haven't missed many since then. Dad's been gone 14 years, but he never missed that show, or rarely ever missed that show. It's in Fairmount, Indiana, which is actually the birthplace of James Dean. He lived there, I believe, with his... aunt and uncle until he moved to Hollywood and then did a couple of movies and tragically was killed in an automobile accident. But the Fairmount does a great job every year of having an awesome show. And thanks to Mike Tin, he did a great job helping, and we got a couple of dad's cars there, and they did very well. So it was a neat Sunday.
So what were the awards that they got, like the 59?
The 59 and the 58 were actually in the same class, and they both placed top three. So we got two of the three in 1950 to 1959 in that class. And then my 60 Impala got awarded a Good Guys Award of Excellence, which is there's a bunch of Good Guys is a nationwide car club, and they have shows all over the United States, and they had some representatives there for Good Guys, and they picked my car as the Good Guys award winner. And then Dad's 55 Ford Victoria that he finished right before he got sick was in another class called Mild Custom, and that one got an award too. So
that's pretty good.
Pretty spectacular.
The only thing that surprises me a little bit about that is you said the word Ford along with your dad.
Well, I always wondered about that, and
that's a beautiful car, but the Ford part threw me a little bit.
The first car he ever bought was a 1955 Ford Victoria, and had a 292 in it, and he drove that before he went to the service. And he said he was always getting his doors blown. And I'm not getting in a big argument. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, I always got my doors blown off by Chevys. And he said, so I sold that, went to the service, got out of the service in 1959, and went directly up to Lee Guggenbiller and sat down with Lee Guggenbiller and ordered a 1959 Impala two-door convertible 348. Three-speed, and that was his favorite car. So he kept that and traded it in a few years later on a 63 Impala, but that kind of started his infatuation with Chevys, and that 59 he bought back in 1989 and had it restored and was done in 19. First show it went to was in 1992, and it's still on the road and still doing great.
And it's beautiful. Those cars are beautiful.
Yep.
They just really are. Yep. So anyway, well, that's enough talking through walk through the garden with Steve Stone. And thanks for listening.
And walk through the garage.
So what do we want to really talk about?
Well, there's, you know, the time of year that it is, you know, we've had some really awesome, cooler, you know, fall, we're into fall, we're fall temperatures, it's 1st of October, fall temperatures, still lots and lots and lots of things to do out in the lawn and landscape. We took a couple weeks off here, back at it now, so kind of catching up with, we're really at the tail end of doing any type of seeding projects. I said all your seeding projects, typically want to have done, you know, by the end of September. Looking at the extended forecast, looks very nice. Warm temperatures, I think some rain maybe on Sunday and Monday. But looking extended into the forecast, we're seeing beautiful weather in the 70s. Nights in the 50s, which is absolutely perfect for growing grass, growing perennials, just about anything. So fall's just, there's just so many different things to do. Fall fertilization with your lawn. If you had some armyworm issues, right now is the time to fertilize, overseed, slice seed, thatch, aerate. Those are all things that can be done in October, and you're going to have great success. And I had mentioned a couple weeks ago about fall fertilization and how important it is to get those applications on in the fall, the fertilizer applications, because they're going to do actually probably a better job for your turf as far as building a substantial and a thick, thorough root system to get that turf to overwinter and come out really nice in the spring. So fall fertilization is hugely important. I know the later we get, you know, people are wrapping up for the season, and some cool nights, you know, make you want to put things away, get ready for winter. I'm just telling you, fall's a great time to get a lot of different projects done. Turf wise, again, fall fertilization, fall weed control, you're going to get better weed control. If you're doing a foliar type application, you're going to get better weed control doing it this time of year. Again, it kind of goes like I talked about turf, you know, weeds and grass knows what time of year it is, and all plants know what time of year it is by day length. The plant, the weeds, also the turf knows that its days are getting shorter, and so they're photosynthesizing, they're using the sunlight to produce their food stores. They're taking all that energy and they're putting it into their roots to get ready for a long winter. Likewise, when you're putting a broadleaf application on, the plant is going to do the same thing with that herbicide. It's going to absorb the herbicide. It's going to take it down to the roots, and you're going to get much better control. In the springtime, the weeds know what time of year it is by, again, the days are getting longer, and so it's easy, especially with hard-to-control weeds like clover and Canadian thistle. You can do an application. You can spray your lawn, and you can get control, and it kind of burns the weed off at the ground, and because of the way that the weed's growing, it's growing vegetatively, it's growing above ground. You can think you've got it killed, but the root system may still be intact because it never translocated the product down to the root. When you do a broadleaf fall application, it immediately takes that herbicide down into its roots, and you're going to get much, much better control in the fall than you are in the spring. So you've got plenty of time to do that. Even if we have a couple of frosty nights, it's still, I've heard people say, oh, you can't spray after frost. And it's like, no, that's not accurate. As long as it's warm and sunny during the day, it could get cold and freeze at night, and the weeds are still going to be actively growing because the soil temperature is going to be very warm. So you're going to get great control this time of year. So lots of things to think about that way. Again, armyworms were a huge concern this summer, wiped out a lot of lawns. If you have a well-established lawn that's been in for a while, fertilization, overseeding, and you know, thatching, corerating are all great processes that could be done right now to promote better turf density and to get your turf to heal from the damage that the armyworms caused over the late summer. I haven't seen very many lawns that I've looked at a lot of lawns. I looked at a lot of lawns that were really in bad shape, and with the showers that we had a few weeks ago or a week or so ago, we had Wednesday night or Thursday night, we had around 2 inches to maybe 2.5 inches of rain. The rains have come at a very opportune time to get that turf to recover. And again, the armyworms damaged the blades of grass and caused the blades in a lot of cases just to turn completely brown. But that did not damage the crown and did not damage the roots. And so you're going to get regeneration of foliage blades very, very quickly. Again, it's always a good idea this time of year to thatch and or aerate or both. That loosens the ground up. It gets that dead tissue out of the soil or out of the root zone there where where you've got all that dead thatch and turf, that layer. Get rid of that and vac it up, rake it up, or run over it a bunch of times with your mulching mower and chop it up real fine, and you'll be in good shape. But again, just lots of things to do right now. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Buying a new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
I need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. More than a workplace.
Full-time production positions start at $15.25 an hour. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
The Fort Recovery Merchants and the Fort Streetcar Classics Car Club are having their fall cruise in on Saturday afternoon, October 9th, on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 4 to 8 p.m. Oldies will be playing all day, there will be a 50-50 drawing, and of course some of the coolest cars around. Make plans now to head up to the Brick Street for the fall cruise-in on Saturday afternoon, October 9th, from 4 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it. Trader Days is coming up at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road, Thursday through Sunday, September 30th through October 3rd. Weekend wristbands are just $5 each. Stop out and see old friends and make some new friends. Don't miss this big annual event with vendors selling everything from collectibles to guns and knives to beef jerky and cheese and just about anything else you can think of. There'll be plenty of parking and food will be available on the grounds, including their famous barbecue chicken dinners on Saturday starting at 4 o'clock. Don't miss Trader Days, September 30th through October 3rd, at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road.
All right, welcome back to part two of Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. We were talking about lawns and fertilizing, seeding, that type of thing. So,
yep, again, good time of year if you are going to take advantage of doing some planting. It's, you know, fall's a great time to plant trees, shrubs, perennials, whatever you want to put in. Again, right now is a good time, you know, water it in. You can get a lot of sales this time of year. There'll be lots of sales running with your local nursery and garden centers. A lot of times they are just, you know, we're trying to reduce inventory so there's less for us to overwinter. Overwintering plants isn't the easiest and certainly can be time-consuming and watering and caring for them all winter. In a lot of cases, they're going to do much better planted out and around your home and landscape. Don't at all be concerned with plants not overwintering if we have an early winter or a hard winter or a long winter or a cold winter. If you start with a good quality plant that's winter hardy for our zone, you're going to have, it's going to overwinter, and it's installed properly. It's going to overwinter. It's not going to croak. So don't be concerned about, well, I'm going to wait and do that project in the spring. In a lot of cases, fall plantings have a lot of advantages, certainly cost. You can, again, find some good discounts right now because of the time of year that it is. And then also, you know, again, getting them established. I mean, this is early fall, so you're going to have the whole month of October, and, you know, chances are you're going to have a couple of nice weeks in November at least, if not, you know, three or four nice weeks in November. So you've got plenty of time to get that plant rooted in, happily established, so it's going to overwinter perfectly fine. So don't hesitate to do those projects now in a lot of cases. Most cases, plants are going to tolerate a cold winter easier and better than if you would plant them in, say, mid-May or even late May next season, and then you immediately go into a hot, dry summer, which we certainly know we can have in June, July, and August. That's going to be a lot harder on the plant getting through that time of a season with the hot weather and lack of rainfall. It's going to struggle more so than if you put it in now, and it, you know, again, even if you do have a hard winter, chances are that the plant's going to overwinter and take off just fine in the spring, and you're going to actually gain almost a whole season's of growth by planting late or this season versus next season, because in a lot of cases the roots are going to be better, well established when it comes to the hot, dry weather next season, June, July, and August. You're going to give it many more months to get established. So don't hesitate to do all your plantings in the fall. Planting trees, great time of year to plant trees. Great time of year in October to do some division and separation if you want to do that with your perennials, hostas, daylilies, you know, things like that that, you know, have gotten overgrown or too big or just, you know, outgrowing their spot where you have them. You can divide and separate those and put those back in. And again, we have plenty of time to get those new starts established before winter sets in. So just a lot of things that you can be working on. It's basically kind of the second spring as far as that goes. It's a great time to do all the different things out in your lawn and landscape that I had mentioned. This is when we get into the time of year where people are asking a lot of questions about mowing. And, you know, there's different discussions on what height to mow in the fall and when's the last time to mow. And, you know, there is no... Mother Nature doesn't work off of calendars, and so you can't say as of the end of October, I can put my mower away and not think about it until, you know, April. You need to mow consistently, and you need to mow as long as the grass is growing. It's good to mow it if it's growing, and you need to cut it. If you get in, you know, again, I see people just basically get to a point where, well, my season's over, I'm going to put the mower away. And the grass grows, you know, you have a mild November, and the grass continues to grow and grow and grow, and it gets really long and kind of lays over on itself. That actually can be a prime candidate for different types of disease issues when you have long, thick, healthy turf that's kind of, again, laying over and matting down over the wintertime, maybe get some snowfall and really mat it down. That's going to create a lot of issues for the lawn, and it's certainly going to look lousy in the spring. So I would say continue to mow until, you know, Mother Nature just basically gets cold and the grass isn't growing anymore. And I've heard people say, you know, let it long going into winter, and I've heard people say, oh no, you're supposed to cut it really low going into winter. My suggestion is always just mow it consistently. Don't let it get long, and certainly don't, you know, scalp it and mow it really short before winter sets in.
I don't remember who it was. Might have been my dad. Somebody years ago said, oh, that last time you mow, always mow it really short so that if it does grow some more, it doesn't look bad. Well, and that seemed sort of wrong to me, but it sounds like that wasn't exactly the best way to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that at all. When you take a dramatic amount of the blade off, you cause stress to the turf. And so if you're consistently mowing at 2 inches or 2.5 inches, you should be mowing probably, I would suggest to be mowing around 2.5, 2.75 inches right now, and I don't think I would cut it much lower than that. But if you come in and really scalp it before the winter sets in, you're creating a tremendous amount of stress for that turf, and there's no reason to do it. I mean, you don't want to do that. There's no reason. You're just, again, creating undue or unneeded, you know, kind of a, again, I don't know what the right word is, stress to that turf. And so, again, just mow consistently. As long as you're mowing consistently, even if you have put a jacket on the last time you mow, just mow consistently and mow at a, you know, again, a good height. You can't go wrong at 2 inches. I mow a lot higher than that because it's better for the lawn. In my opinion, it's better for the lawn. I think my lawn looks better when it's mowed long. I usually, during the summer, I'll mow at 3 or 3.5 inches. I think my deck's set on about 3 inches right now. But again, just don't scalp it. There's no reason to do that. Get a lot of questions in regards to vacking or cleaning up the leaves, vacking the leaves, or raking the leaves, or leaving them on. It depends on a lot of different factors. The type of trees you have. I mean, some trees
probably
like,
how thick a layer of leaves it is.
Norway maples have a very heavy, large, thick leaf. Sycamores, London plane trees. There are certain trees that will have a very large, heavy leaf. And again, you don't necessarily have to rake all of them up. But if you have a good mulching mower with a sharp blade, you can mow across a lot of that stuff, and it will chop it up into little pieces and just let it lay. If you have like a locust tree, locust trees have a very fine fine leaf structure, and the leaves are very tiny. Those you really never have to rake at all. You just mow across them and you're done. But it depends again on the density of the leaves, where you live. If you're in town and you get the neighbor's leaves blowing in, and the neighbor's beyond them, you know, and you collect leaves, if it gets really thick and you can't get your mower across it, well, then you're certainly going to have to rake them and drag them out to the road, and the village will stop by and pick them up. But if you just got a little bit here and there and you can take your mulching mower across it and chop them all up, your chopped up leaf or blades from your turf, and then also chopped up leaves, is an organic matter, and it will decompose very, very rapidly, and that is obviously better for your soil. So if you can leave some of the leaves on, and again, chop them real fine, and maybe even mow over them twice, two different directions, you don't have to rake them all out to the curb. But again, you know, the thickness or density of the leaves on the, you know, on the grass makes a difference. I said a little bit ago, you don't want to let the lawn get too tall and kind of lay over on itself, because it'll cause you, can cause disease issues, kind of, they call it like, well, the word escapes me, but, like damping off, which it can be like a disease that will cause the turf to kind of die out when it's laying over on itself. Likewise, if you have a thick leaf cover all winter long, that's certainly going to create issues for your turf. So,
because they do need the grass does need to get some. So daylight sunshine
absolutely has to get sunlight and has to get oxygen down around the roots, because again, you can get. We don't usually have any trouble. I shouldn't say. We normally don't have any trouble here in Ohio where we're at. But again, when you have leaf cover and you have real tall grass and you have snow cover in the wintertime, or consistent snow cover for a long period of time, it's more of a problem you'll see up in Michigan, but or Minnesota. But snow molds are a disease that actually will grow in the wintertime. And snow mold, there's a pink snow mold and a gray snow mold. Those can certainly cause issues for your lawn. And I've seen them around Ohio after a hard winter and a lot of snow cover, but it's pretty unusual to see it. But again, that's just all, you know, trying to have your lawn as healthy as possible. Consistent mowing, sharp blade, keep your leaves picked up or mulched up, and then, you know, don't let your lawn get too thick. Thatching, core aerating, slice seeding, overseeding, those are all different processes that, if you stay on top of it, is pretty easy to do, and it will, you know, you'll be assured of having a really, really nice looking lawn. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
It's time to begin planning your landscape improvements for this summer. Nature's Green Nursery can design a beautiful, cost-effective, no-maintenance landscape for your home or business with quality trees, shrubs, perennials, soils, and mulch. Steve Stone has a degree in horticulture landscape. Call Nature's Green at 419-375-2322 today and set up a free landscape design and evaluation. Check out Nature's Green on the web or like them on Facebook. Nature's Green Nursery on State Route 119 just east of Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage.
Wayne Street Market has the best steak prices in the area, always $2, $3, $4 a pound less than everybody else. They buy in large quantities and pass that savings on to you, and there's no limit on how much you can buy at these great prices. Ribeyes are $9.99 a pound, flat iron steaks are $8.99 a pound, and T-bones and New York strips are only $7.99 a pound. Get some steaks and grill them up while the weather is still nice, and grab a bunch more and put them in the freezer to save for later. Great prices on great steaks at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. The Fort Recovery Firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 10th, from 8 to noon at the Fire Hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom-made by your firefighters, all you can eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free-will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the Fire Hall on Sunday morning, October 10th, from 8 to noon for the Fort Recovery Firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast. The Fort Recovery Knights of Columbus are having a pork loin dinner on Sunday, October 10th, with drive-through pickup from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Knights Hall. It will be pre-sale only, and you can order your dinners by using the envelopes at the back of church at any of the cluster churches, St. Peter, St. Joseph, St. Paul's in Sharpsburg, or Mary Help of Christians. The ordering information is in the envelope. You can also call 375-4544 for tickets. Be sure to order your pork loin dinners by Sunday, October 3rd. And why not order a few extra for a quick meal during the week? Don't miss the Knights of Columbus's pork loin dinner, Sunday, October 10th, from 4 to 6.
We're back. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, if you've got questions or topics, things you need to kind of have clarified with lawn and landscape type stuff, please, you know, give us a call, send us an email, get a hold of us one way or another, and get us the info that you're curious about. I'd be really, really happy to tailor any kind of a Saturday morning topic to answering as many questions as I can. Before the break, talking about, you know, fall and turf and lawns and how things are going as far as getting kind of, I guess, getting ready for winter. Again, like I had mentioned, you know, fall's a great time to plant, so take advantage. I know it's well past at this point. I think it was the second week of September. There's a nursery somewhat local down by Phillipsburg, and they have a big sale every fall, and they sell all their inventory that's above ground. And I know of quite a few people that's gone down and purchased trees and shrubs from them. Again, they're getting rid of all their inventory that's above ground that they don't want to overwinter. And so they're cleaning all their beds out, their heel-in area, they're cleaning all that out, getting ready for winter. And I know a few people that's gone down and gotten some, you know, some pretty good prices on some different items. So
now,
again,
is that an auction or is it
an auction?
Okay.
It's
I didn't know how they did that. If they just had here's how much it is, 20% off, 50% off, and come buy it, or?
Well, you just got to be careful. I know a lot of people go down to, there's different companies that have auctions. This particular one is pretty well known in the area for having an auction every fall. It's always the second week of September. It used to just be open to nursery people, mm-hmm. and then they decided, you know, we'll open it up to everybody. And so you kind of have to have an idea of what, I guess, is a good price. You have to do your homework to know what's a good price and what's a bad price. Because once they opened it up to the public, you get a lot of people coming in from Dayton and Oakwood and Kettering and Beaver Creek and all over. And they actually, in some cases, since you're bidding against each other and people kind of get in the heat of the battle, the owner, the nursery owner, I'm sure laughs all the way to the bank, because in some cases they'll bid stuff up to a higher than even what a retail price is, because people kind of get in a frenzy of bidding. So you got to have an idea what you're looking for, and you got to have an idea what a good price is and what not a good price might be. Just because I've heard people say, "Oh, I paid, you know, $14 for this," and I'm like, You know, you can go down there on Monday and buy it for 10.
Yeah.
And in some cases you might, you know, find an 8-foot blue spruce and buy it for $100. And, you know, that's a $600 tree.
Yeah.
And so there's good deals to be had. You just got to be careful what you're purchasing. And then also, they're also selling everything that maybe I've picked through all summer. Mm-hmm. And so they'll have a block of trees and they've been purchased, and the ones that are left maybe aren't the best ones there. Mm-hmm. And the nursery guys have already picked through them, so you're kind of getting what's left. So there's great deals to be had. You just kind of want to be careful and have some idea of what prices are before you go down there. And just because I'm at an auction doesn't necessarily mean I'm getting a great price.
Yeah.
Especially when you get such a diverse crowd in there, like they've been able to draw in over the last 15 or 18 years. They get a lot of people coming, and I'm sure that's always a happy day at the end of the day for them, because they're moving a lot of material and they're in some cases getting, you know, really, really good prices for them. So, but again, you know, back to that is there's lots of different, like we'll have things on sale this time of year. And it's just the stuff that we have is, you know, all A1 quality. It's just, there's so much stuff. We just don't have enough time, effort, and manpower to overwinter everything. So we'd rather sell it at a discount than, you know, try to overwinter everything. So it's a great time to plant. It's a great time to think about planting. In a lot of cases, when we have significant tree plantings to do, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30, we've had instances where we've had 50 or 80 trees to plant for a client. The functional part of trying to keep all those trees watered for the homeowner is difficult. And so we try to schedule our fall plantings, especially big plantings where watering is a concern. Obviously, if we're planting a tree next to your house and you can drag a hose out and water it, not a big deal. You can water it consistently. We've done projects where we've planted acres of trees and watering a hose, dragging it out, watering it just simply isn't feasible. It's not possible. And those are plantings that we try to schedule for like late October, November, even into early December if the ground's not froze. Because the plants are dormant, they're well into dormancy, they've lost their leaves, and so planting them, the water requirements and the care requirements late season is very, very, very small. And so it gives you more flexibility as far as watering and care goes, because it's the end of the season, the plants are dormant, we move them. It may not get watered right away, or, you know, winter storms, you know, rain, snow, whatever, eventually they'll get the moisture they need. And I mean, obviously it's always a good idea to water anything in that you plant new, but in some instances, like I'm talking about, if it's not possible, late season planting is like on woody material like that, woody trees, it's a great time of year to do that, very late season. So you got plenty of time to get out there and get that done.
All right. So anything else we want to throw in here?
Well, I got to save something for next week.
Okay. So Buckeyes, what are they up to today? They're going to New Jersey, aren't they?
They're going to be in Jersey playing the Rutgers, playing Rutgers. And, you know, Shianu's up there, and he's got a – he's a good coach, and he's got a good team. So
I've heard on the Buckeye Roundtable they were talking about that and how that whole, not just football, but their whole sporting thing has changed drastically with being in the Big
Ten.
In
the Big Ten, yep.
It gives them huge recruiting things, and one of the people, might have been Coach Cooper, said, need to be careful because he might start keeping a lot of those New Jersey players at home instead of them going over to Penn State or to, you know, South or even out here to Ohio State, Michigan.
Coach Shianu's a outstanding coach, and he's doing a really good job in Rutgers. He's got a really good program, and, you know, we've played certainly we haven't played our best game, but we've, you know, struggled here and there getting started this season. So I I don't anticipate, you know, any kind of a big blowout. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we certainly can win there.
Yeah.
But
couple of breaks could make it
blowout.
A couple
of turnovers on our end could make it uncomfortably close.
Yes.
It's going to be a tough season. The Big Ten looks awesome, which I love.
Yeah.
All the teams looking good. I get tired of listening to ESPN and then tooting the horn about the SEC and how awesome they are. But, all of our teams, I think, look really, really good, you know, for the most part. The Big Ten's solid, super.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness, Iowa's awesome, absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it's really good to not have, like we've had a lot of times in the years past, where Ohio State is really good and maybe
Penn State's really good and everybody
maybe
else.
One other one, sometimes it's Michigan, sometimes Penn State, sometimes Nebraska. Indiana had a little run there where they were pretty good.
Last year they were really, really good.
So, it's good to have solid competition top to bottom.
Michigan State looks good. Iowa looks good. Michigan looks good. Penn State looks good. I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Sure.
I like it. We make, get better. You get better by playing better competition.
That's right.
That's how our high school sports is around here. We play great competition, so there's great competitors all the way down through the list. If a team has a chance to get into a tournament and not have to play other MAC schools, they're going a long way.
That's right.
They just basically never lose.
That's right.
I can't remember what it is in football. It's something crazy that it's like 90% of the games that a MAC school plays that isn't against another MAC school, they win all the way through the football playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
Just it's crazy. So anyway, we talked about the cars, we talked about football, a little bit about
we do it all here at Fort Recovery Radio.
Actually, part of the time we got into what we were supposed to. So
what we do it all here. We do it all for you here. Thanks.
Yep. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.